Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We will help you keep it running. Thanks to the help we get from Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician on beautiful Grand Avenue there at Lloyd's Automotive. Hi, Dan. Good morning.
Good morning.
Nice to see you again.
Good to be here.
And it is a brisk morning.
It's cold this morning. It's
Let's be honest. It's cold.
The breeze is blowing down through the tunnel, you know, or through the tunnels of the big buildings down here. And
when
it's chilly.
When you turn the corner on 7th Street and 2nd Avenue, that wind comes up from the Mississippi.
Yes.
And it lets you know it's there.
It does. Yeah. It's cold.
Yeah. But we're here in a nice warm studio waiting for your phone calls and text messages for Dan. If you have any kind of issues with your vehicle, call it in or text it in. Same number, 651-989-9226. I was talking to you. My son informed me that the oil that his car uses, and I've never seen it, you have, zero, the viscosity is 0 to 16.
Yeah.
Is that kind
Isn't that
of
amazing?
It really is amazing.
Well, that speaks to the technology of motor oil, that they can, you know, of course, they want it thin like that for easy startups and for less resistance.
Sure.
Or, you know, the lower viscosity will allow it to flow better, which allows everything to move easier. And it's just, and the technology of motor oil has allowed them to do that because the oil is so good. It handles it. It does just fine with that. So,
is there a thinner viscosity yet
than 0.16?
Yeah.
Not that I've heard of.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's pretty thin.
It really is. Yeah. It looks like water.
Right.
All right. If you, again, if you have a question, a car care question, call it in, text it in. 6-5. You know, we tend to get busy, especially knowing that Dan will be here till just about 7:45. So don't wait. If you have a question, we'd like to help you out. Call it in or send a text. Well, given the cold temperature day today, it's not going to stay this way. This is kind of a one day for a while.
Right.
But then the more snow is predicted for the next, you know, half a day, day and a half or so, including the Twin Cities. Snow tires. People still going to Lloyd's getting snow tires on even at this February date?
Well, it's late to put them on now.
Yeah.
If you've gotten through the winter till now, it's probably you might as well wait now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hopefully it won't be too long before we're taking them off and getting back to spring and dealing with the potholes.
Well, I was thinking, again, because you've addressed it before, to get snow tires, there's a storage issue. For snow.
Well,
wow.
Which is fine. A lot of people have the room, and it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the room up in the rafters of your garage or whatever, and you can put them up there and out away, it's no big deal. But that is an issue for me personally. I don't put snow tires on my car just because I don't want to have to deal with storing them.
Yeah.
I don't want to store them for the season. But you know, it's not like it's a bad investment. It's actually a very good investment if you are going to have your car long enough to go through two sets of tires anyway. What's the difference? One set might as well be snow tires, and one set might as well be summer tires, because they're gonna last, you know, twice as long as one set of tires would anyway. So I think it's a fine investment if you're going to have your car that long to burn through two sets of tires.
Now, just speaking of that, a text just came in. Momentarily, it says, how important is it to have snow tires on your car into winter now, since most cars have all season radials?
Well, they do, and that's a good argument. It's it's you know, a good, better, best thing. You know, good as front wheel drive with all season tires. Better is all-wheel drive vehicle with all-season tires, and best is all-wheel drive with snow tires. And it's just the difference. How good do you want it? I mean, if you've ever driven a car on ice or snow with snow tires. It's remarkable.
That's what I'm hearing from friends of mine who have that.
Right. It's a big deal, and it's certainly worth it if you want to be that comfortable and have that kind of traction. Now, the argument would be we don't have that many days that, you know, today and for weeks now, the main roads anyway have been dry and clean and just fine.
So yeah.
For a long time, you haven't needed snow tires at all. Tomorrow, you'll probably be glad to have them.
That's true. 651-989-9226 as our phone number and text number. Same number applies. Speaking of text, here's a 13 Fusion. Hit bumps and rear end sways. I think we've had one like this before. It feels loose. I asked before and tried everything you guys have suggested. Three different shops, new tires. Alignment checked. All three said suspension is good. What's the next step?
Well, if you're actually feeling a shift back there, something's happening. Something's loose, or perhaps a shock, or a strut. While it looks fine and feels fine, isn't. You can't bounce a car to check a strut the way that hitting a pothole or hitting a big bump in the road does. You just can't copy that in the shop. And so there's a chance that a shock or strut has failed. And I think if I was going to, take a guess, that's probably, if everything else looks tight and if all the bushings and suspension parts are tight, probably the most effective thing to do would be to change the rear struts and see if that takes care of it.
Speaking of shock absorbers, do you guys and your guys change those a lot anymore these days?
Often.
You do?
Often, yes. Yes. We every day. Shocks and struts are definitely a wear item. And, in fact, we quite frequently see vehicles come in with, the strut suspension has the spring wrapped around the shock absorber. It's all one unit. And we quite frequently see vehicles come in with broken springs nowadays.
Really?
Yeah. Well, and that's a sign of potholes.
Potholes, yeah.
Potholes,
yeah,
exactly. Again, they take the abuse. The springs and shocks and struts take the abuse in weather air in with roads like that. And I think that's what's going on is they fail. And yes, we change those often.
Dexter wants to know, why might a car just turn off and shut down while one is driving? It has happened three times now. Once it would not start up right away, and I guess that's it.
Yeah, well, that's, I don't know. There's a whole bunch of ingredients that are necessary for the car to keep running as you're driving down the road, and, it needs spark, it needs fuel. The timing needs to stay correct and accurate. Needs battery charge. So the whole bunch of things that could cause that. And you might say, well, so what should I do? And what we would do is if you brought it into the shop, we'd have to figure out or get the information from you under what conditions is this happening? When is it happening? How can we duplicate the problem? And then we would put a whole bunch of test equipment on it. Our laptops, we'd plug into all the computers, and we would put a spark indicator on it. We'd put a fuel pressure gauge on it and then go drive the vehicle. And when it does it, we need to figure out exactly which ingredient is missing. And once we know that, once we know what the missing ingredient is, then we can zero in on that and figure out why that's happening.
Okay. Tell you what, we have callers, we have texters. They're going to take a quick break here and be back with more. If you have any kind of a car care question for Dan Burns, call it in or text it in. Again, it's the same number, 651-989-9226. And good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here with Dan Burns, who is an ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Exactly where are you located?
We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is between Lexington and Victoria on Grand Avenue. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net. Give us a call, 651-228-1316. You can find us on Facebook.
Yeah.
And anywhere else you might look.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, easy to find.
We'll give you that info before Dan leaves us. By the way, Dan stays with us till just about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a car care question, don't wait. Call it in or text it in. The sooner, the better. 651-989-9226. Speaking of which, back to the phones. Brett is calling from Mankato. Brett, what is your question for Dan?
The question for Dan is, I drive about 80 miles to the Twin Cities, and my car sits in a parking lot for sometimes 3 days, up to 3 days' time. My question is, I've thought about buying a electric vehicle, but what I've been told is when it's cold like this and an electric vehicle sits outside, it can actually lose as much as 30% of its battery power. I just wanted to find out if that's a myth or if that's something that there is some truth set. I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, no, that is true. And that's one of the challenges with electric cars in our environment, that they have not actually been able to figure out the cold battery problem. It's true. When the battery in a conventional car, when you let it sit outside and it's below zero, the battery loses a significant amount of its power. And that's the reason, an additional reason, that in the morning when you go to start your car, it turns over slow. The battery really is low from being cold. And, of course, when you get the car running and drive it, the battery charges back up. So it's just fine that it happens that way every day. But that is one of the things that they're certainly working on in this climate, is how to keep the batteries fully charged when they get cold.
Yeah. Issue. Thank you. Yeah, Thanks for the call.
Definitely an issue, though.
651-989-9226 if you want to call it in or text in your question. Same number. Here's a text. If I damage a tire on my all-wheel drive vehicle, such as that I need a new tire, do I need to replace all of them or just the one?
Well, it depends. If you're due for four tires, that's a good time to do it. If you have, I would say if the tires are, 50% or 75% still good, then I would not put four tires on. I would just probably replace the one tire.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I would probably just place the one. And, they get – the market gets a little bit funny on an all-wheel drive vehicle if the tires aren't all exactly the same size, meaning some are worn more than the other ones. Certainly, if a tire's worn, it turns faster. It makes more revolutions than a bigger tire or a brand new tire. And so if there's a significant difference in those tires, then the vehicle has to compensate for that. There needs to be a slip place because they're not going the same revolution, the same number of revolutions as you're going down the highway. And wherever that slip place is happening can be hard on the vehicle.
Yeah.
The truth is, though, that happens anyway. The car is designed for it. It's designed for that to happen. What you don't want to do, though, is abuse that system. So you don't want a brand new tire and a completely bald tire because that's going to require a lot of slipping to happen as you're going down the road. But if they're pretty close, then it's just fine.
All right. Tell you what, let's talk to Joe, who's calling from iSandy. Joe, what's your question for Dan?
Yes, I think there's a week or two ago, I was listening, and someone called in. They wanted to know, should they let their engine idle on a diesel when you stop? And I think it was Nick said, no, you can turn it off. Well, if you're lollygagging around town, I think that's fine. But if you're pulling a load or you're doing, 70 miles an hour on the freeway and it's 80, 90 degrees out, I've got the experience that says that the cheapest fuel you'll ever burn is while you're idling after you pull off and you're pulling a heavy load.
So your experience is that it's better or fine,
yeah.
Just fine,
yeah.
To let it run. And I probably would agree with that.
Yeah.
It's I agree with him. While a diesel is running, mm-hmm. It uses very, very small amount of fuel, and especially if you're in the vehicle or whatever, and you want to,
and you're working,
you want to keep it running. I certainly understand that, and that makes sense. So maybe the right answer is it's personal preference.
Especially Joe has experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's his experience, and I think that's probably a valid point.
All right. Thank you, Joe, for the input. Appreciate that. Skip in Bloomington has some question he wants to ask. Skip, what is your question?
Dan, a question on a 2016 Honda CR-V all-wheel drive four-door. I noticed driving it the other day, and her oil, I didn't realize, but when you drive it after 25 miles an hour, it kind of kicks back like it's like a plug converter almost. And then I found out that the oil was only about a half a quart low, but once it was filled up, the oil was, it was clean enough. So it was like a plugged filter. It was like acting like it was, wouldn't shift. It was up to 25, 30 and it would kick back. Any ideas on is there a computer problem besides or not?
Well, there could be. That was going to be my next question. Is the check engine light on or have you had no?
All fuel levels are basically full and clean.
Yeah. And the check engine light is not on.
Correct.
Yeah. So, well, I don't, that doesn't sound familiar to me like that's a common problem on Hondas. What I can tell you is, if it was in my shop and I was taking it out for a drive, what I would do is put my computer equipment, hook my computer equipment up to your car and take it out and drive it and watch, the solenoids in the transmission to see if it's a transmission issue that you're feeling. And then I would also watch all the solenoids on the engine and see what's going on with the engine. And, one other thing is in our business, certainly the first thing we do with every single car that we work on is take it for a test drive. So we have lots of experience with driving cars and feeling problems and having an idea of what things are. And that's a big deal. And in fact, an old guy is better than a young guy when it comes to having felt all of those experiences. So I that's kind of my deal. I end up driving an awful lot of cars that we're struggling with and, just for the experience factor.
Sure.
And so I think maybe that's probably where I would go if I was you, is bring it in and let a professional take it for a drive, maybe do a little diagnostic on it and see what they can find for you.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Skip. Texter says this, I assume it means a blend door. It's a 2007 Tundra. Driver's side is cold. Where is the blend control for that?
Well, I don't know without looking that up, but yeah. That information is readily available if you want to do a web search or whatever. You'll certainly find that, but it's on the heater box someplace, usually near the center console, and most of the time you have pretty good access to it. In other words, you can change those motors without
ripping too much out.
Without having to take too much apart. And I've done that. Recently, I did one this week where just on the driver's side, it was blowing cold, and we had to change that little temp motor. And
okay.
It was, pretty simple and not that expensive.
It's doable. All right, good. Maybe you can help me tell me what this is. How do I keep my intercooler hoses from freezing up? What's that?
Well, it's part of the turbo. The intercooler for the turbocharger, and that's a deal. That's another deal in this climate where, on cars that have a very complicated PCV system or a turbocharger, and the intercooler gets condensation and moisture in it as the engine is running at different temperatures, and then it freezes up. So, the best way to keep it from freezing up is to always get the engine up to operating temperature. In other words, short trips.
Sure.
Short trips are what cause that. If you get the engine up to operating temperature and drive it, put miles on it, have it warm and dry when you put it away, that's the best prevention for something like that.
Dan, we need to take a quick break. We have more show to come. But keep in mind, Dan, we'll be here only till about 7:45. So if you have any kind of a car care question, call it in or text it in. Same number, 651-989-9226. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Hall here with Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Dan, we have about 8-10 minutes left in the show. We have texters. We have callers as well. Let's go to Gene, who's calling from Elk River, I believe. Gene, go ahead with your question.
Yes, I have a 2007 Tundra. A couple of years ago, so I've been kind of stalling on this. The driver's side is cold when I'm calling for heat. I know it's got something to do with what they call the blend door. I just don't know where the one is that controls the driver's side.
I think we just answered that.
I don't know where it is either. Yes. That was my answer. We can look it up. I mean, there's if you do a web search or something, you'll certainly find that. But or we certainly have manuals that we can look at. But it's in the heater box somewhere, and it's probably down by your feet. But if you look on the passenger side with a flashlight, you'll see the other side moving, and then you can compare the two sides. And as you switch it from hot to cold, you can compare the two sides and find it that way.
Here's this text that says, Dan, a 20-plus-year technician, in regard to the Honda that cuts out like a bad catalytic converter, I've had that happen to me, and it was the VTEC system. Love the show.
Oh, the VTEC.
I don't recall the question.
Well, it was, it feels like stuttering or stalling, okay, or it's fighting against itself. And what he's talking about is the timing, the vehicle's timing is controlled with oil pressure, and there's solenoids and there's screens that the oil flows through, and that solenoid turns on or turns off. And what he's talking about is sometimes those screens plug if it is a timing problem. Sometimes those screens plug, and you have to take those screens out and clean them out so the oil will flow through again. Sometimes those solenoids fail. But if you go to accelerate and the timing is wrong, if the timing's not changing like it's supposed to under acceleration, it'll feel pretty sluggish on acceleration. So I think he's probably right. My diagnostic procedure that I was talking about, that's one of the things that we would look at when we're driving it. If we had our computer equipment hooked up to the car, we would be looking at the timing to see if the timing is changing like it's supposed to. And if the timing's not changing, then we know there's something wrong with the VTEC system.
There was another part I didn't see of Matt's text. It says it goes into fuel cutoff mode, oil quality and proper level. He said it was only a half a quart low, but making sure it's clean is imperative, as you know. Just a thought.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great thought, and probably exactly what is happening. I think that's a great diagnosis.
Okay. Hello, it says, my vehicle is a 2007 Buick, 310,900 miles.
Wow.
The service traction light comes on every once in a while. I can go days, and then it trips. What can cause this? A hub assembly were replaced recently. The brake fluid was low, just came on first time. Was filled, so far so good. Can that, it's kind of a typo here, evaporate? Never have put in before.
Yeah.
Can that fluid evaporate?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, it's going somewhere, but oftentimes maybe it's leaking so slowly. Well, two things. The brake fluid goes down because the friction material wears. So in other words, as the brake pads or shoes wear out, the space is replaced with fluid behind it. And so the fluid will go down that way, or sometimes it'll leak a little bit of fluid out of the back of the master cylinder and go into the brake power booster, and you never see it. You don't know that. So but that's what happens to brake fluid. But with regards to the traction control light coming on, that's part of the anti-lock brake system, and that hub assembly that they replace certainly could have something to do with it, or a different hub assembly or a different anti-lock brake sensor certainly could be causing the problem.
And again, I've been to Lloyd's a number of times over there, many years, and if somebody, a customer comes in, brings in whatever vehicle it is, you guys have your computers, and if I don't have, or that person doesn't have a maintenance schedule, well, I don't know, it's got 26,000 miles on it, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Don't you have that information there?
Absolutely.
No matter what it is.
Right. We have it. It's on the web. It's everywhere. I mean, it's you can. You don't have to look far to find out what maintenance you should be doing on your vehicle. That's true.
Tell you what, I know you just have a couple of minutes to go here. Bob in Wilmer is on the line. Bob, thanks for waiting. What's your question?
I have a 27 Toyota Camry with about 21,000 miles on, and in the cold weather, sometimes when I put it in gear and step on the gas, the engine just kind of revs up for a while before the transmission engages.
Well, I don't think that's a problem. I think that's probably normal. In cold weather, especially, that'll happen. I've noticed that if I park my vehicle and it's a Toyota also, that if I park it for a number of days, it actually takes a few seconds or several seconds before the transmission will actually engage. And I think in the case in my car, I think what happens is the torque converter drains down a little bit, and which is fine. It's no big deal. And it just takes the pump has to run a little bit to fill the torque converter back up before the vehicle will pull itself again. So I don't think that's a problem. I think it's normal and just fine.
Texter wants to know, can brake lines rust?
All the time.
Do they?
Yeah, we do them every week. We're an older vehicle. In fact, oftentimes it's what totals a vehicle because it's a big job to replace all of the brake lines, but we do it all the time, and what we do is remanufacture brake lines. We make them, put new fittings on them, and crimp them, and rebuild the brake lines and put them on. So, a common repair, most shops are really good at it, and do it often. Look, because cars are so expensive now, it makes sense. It's one of the things that fails in this climate, and they need to be replaced. And when they do them all. Don't just fix the broken little piece, because next week the next piece
the next one at a time. I'm surprised there isn't a material like stainless steel or something.
There is a replacement material that we use that's better. But of course, the old brake lines lasted 20 years, so the replacement ones will last another 20 years. You'll probably be done with it by then.
Tell you what, Dan, we got to say goodbye till next week.
All right.
How do we get in touch with you guys at Lloyd's? You're there today.
We are. I'll be there today, actually. Right. Come on over. We're at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul. You can call us at 651-228-1316. And you can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net. LLOYDS, Lloyd's.
See you there, Dan.
Sounds good.
Talk to you next week. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.